Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Shall we pray together? God, we thank you that our relationship with you permits us to take off all the veneer, to lower our mask, and to take a look at who we really are, knowing that after we have seen the reality of our whole being, that we can know that that which is undesirable can be forgiven and made new in Jesus Christ. Help us to see, Father, the need of being able to face reality, no matter who we are, how old we are, or what our background is. Speak to us then through your word this day. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Friends in Christ, the ability to face reality is a major secret of living if you and I are going to live a meaningful life. It is not easy to face reality, because what that really means is that I have got to take my situation as it presents itself to us on this ninth day of April and say, this is it. This is who I am. These are my circumstances, and by God's grace, I will face the reality, and if I can, by his grace, I will change it if it needs to be changed, and by his grace, I will ask him to change it if I can't. And that's tough to do. I learned that in a very particular way many years ago, and it was refreshed in my mind just a few months ago. I had a very close friend for all the years that I have lived here in Cedar Falls. He died a few months ago, and I've missed him greatly. Didn't belong to this church. Maybe he was a friend of some of you. His name was Ed Kelly. I went to see him only a few days before he died. He was sitting there very stately in his chair. And I said to him, Ed, you have always been a real inspiration to me. And I said, tell me about it. He said, I learned the secret of living, Homer, many years ago. And that is to be able to face reality. When this man died, he was retired, obviously, but he had been a leading industrialist in this community. He had been a community leader. He had been a leader in his church, St. Joseph's Roman Catholic Church in Waterloo. He had been a much sought after counselor for people who had difficulty with alcohol. He had in his home, his beautiful home, I think on Willow Lane, what he called a parlor AA meeting. Ed's life wasn't always that way. When he was a young man, he had a real problem with alcohol. And he told me, I projected that off to all kinds of people and had all kinds of excuses why I was an alcoholic. And then one day I was with my priest, Father Duane Brady, one of God's great people. I tell you, if you didn't know Duane Brady, you really missed something. Duane Brady put his arms around Ed and said, "Ed, it's time for you to face reality. You have drunk yourself out of a great position, and you could have been a leader in that industry. But alcohol got the best of you. It's time for you to face reality if you don't want to go right down the drain." And Ed said, "By the grace of God, I faced it. And by the grace of God, I continue to conquer it, always in the imperfect tense, always continuing on. I continue to master it by God's grace, and it has been a good life. But what I learned," he said, "from my priest applied not only to my drinking, but to all of life." And there that good-looking, brilliant man whose body had grown frail looked at me and said, "Look at me, Homer. I'm helpless. I can hardly walk. And I know that soon death draws nigh. And it is necessary for me to face reality and to know that God waits for me because I trust his Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior." You have to face reality. He was a great teacher. He was a great friend. And he taught me well, and he reminded me of it again and again through my contacts with him, that you do not really understand life until you can face reality. The other day, I sat reading the newspaper, as you do too, with all this that is going on in Washington. And my point is not to get in the pulpit this morning and to begin to go to town on some of those who lead us. Perhaps I would do no better. But we are in a serious position, friend, in the United States, according to our leaders. I really don't know any more than what I read in the newspaper. But when you see how they are trying to balance this budget, how they're trying to say we have to stop spending more money than we have coming in. We have to face reality. And they don't seem to be able to get that all done. That's serious. For many years now, according to some of our people in the Congress of the United States, we have failed to face reality. It was politically feasible just to spend, as it assured you of another seat back in Washington for 2 or 6 years or 4 years. Spend it all. And now they tell us, the economists, that we are in a situation where maybe the paying off of this debt is almost impossible. I take a look at the church. We very glibly say in mainline Protestantism that it's not our day. And we are decreasing in membership and the ministry is not very effective. That's true of our Evangelical Lutheran church. To some extent, it's true of Nazareth Church. We've kind of plateaued. We really have. And I have to, as one of the pastors, I have to stand around here and say, what's the cause of the plateau? Why don't we move from 2,000 in attendance to 3,000? Why aren't we reaching out more in this community? We've plateaued. Those are hard questions. It isn't a hard question to ask, are we going to build a building? It isn't a hard question to ask, even sometimes, about the finance, because we've always had enough. But when we get right down to the basics of why the Lord Jesus Christ has put us here, and we have to face reality, are we really serious about our mission in this community and the world? Now we're facing reality. Don't like to do it. Hard. In our homes. Are we able in our homes to face reality? I know that we have become very well indoctrinated, but in the culture of our day. But the hard question is, can you, as a husband and a wife or a single parent, whatever the situation may be in your home, do you really believe that you can face all the difficulties of a family on your own strength? Can you do that? Can you do it without God? Most Americans are trying to do it. And one Sunday goes by after another, and well, I guess our family doesn't need to go and be nurtured with the Word of God. We can get by. We were there 2 weeks ago, weren't we? The Bible in our home is seldom opened. I talk with these ninth grade kids pretty seriously sometimes. Is the Bible open in your home? Do you have devotions? Do you see your father, your mother, as people of God who are leading you in the Word of God? Most of them, 90% of them, will say we don't have devotions on a regular basis. If your home is like that, are you facing reality? You think you can keep it together? Do you really? I don't know about the rest. I know this is a hot subject. But can we really run these homes, people, with both parents out of the home much of the time? I don't want to build a guilt complex. I know that for some, maybe it's necessary. For others, it's just that there are so many things that have to be done in the community and you're asked to do them. But let's face reality. Can that child come home day after day after day and parents are not there? Where does a high school student spill it all if dad or mom are not there to listen? Those are realities. And I say to you today, on the basis of the Word of God, which we are now going to face reality is very, very difficult. What I'd like to do then today is face you up to a reality, and I'm going to use it in a very general way, and that's not good preaching, but you're going to have to make it specific yourself. One of the realities that we have got to face in our lives is sin, and what sin is doing and can do to us. Now I tell you, when you get into this, it begins to be kind of uncomfortable, but this is Holy Week, and Holy Week is a very uncomfortable time. Jesus Christ took this matter of sin very seriously. And so he talks to us about it in a text that is ours this morning. In that text that was read to you by Pastor Erickson, I would just like to refer to a couple of verses. The first one is where the Lord says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. For this purpose I have come to this hour." And then in verse 20, if you're following with your Bible, he says, "And now the hour has come." Verse 23. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." What's he talking about? Let's see if we can unravel it a little bit. To God, sin is tremendously serious. And the reason that it is serious is that God can have nothing to do with sin. Therefore, if you and I have not had our sin taken away, there is no relationship with God. How many of you believe that? There is no relationship with God unless your sin is taken away. You know, this is a marvelous old statement, and we hear it so often at public gatherings. We are all the children of God. Sure, we are, as far as creation is concerned. But we are not all the children of God redemptively, personally, unless we are in Jesus Christ. Now listen, that is not my statement. That is the statement that I am simply emphasizing from the Word of God. In a pluralistic society, we simply rebel to this. That can't be. It's irrational. You mean to tell me only in Christ is a person restored into fellowship with God? That's what Jesus said. That's what the Bible says. That's what we have to proclaim. It's in Christ. Therefore, when sin came into the world, the first thing that God did was to set up what we call a plan of redemption. And that plan of redemption is to bring people back into a living personal fellowship with Him. That's His plan. And He announced that in Eden, in the Garden of Eden, as He addressed the tempter. The people didn't know how He was going to do it. But eventually He established a country, a nation. And the nation is Israel. He said that out of Israel He was going to bring forth one who would be the Messiah. They didn't understand it. But every so often He would speak through the prophets. And one of the greatest prophecies that we have comes from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, as He describes what this person is going to do when He comes. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid and will lay on that Messiah when He comes the iniquity of us all. In other words, I'm going to take all of this sin and I'm going to throw it all onto this Savior who's coming. What's He going to be like? When is He coming? Who is He? And Israel had that question from that day right on down through, and many have it yet today. Then the time comes. And Paul writes about it in his letter to the Galatians. In the fullness of time, God sent into this world His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. What for? To redeem those, it's to buy back those who are under the law, to save you and me, to bring us back into fellowship with God, that we could walk with Him throughout life, and then finally one day open our eyes and be with Him forever in heaven. That's why He came. 3.5 months ago, we were gathered in this very sanctuary, many of us. And what were we celebrating? We were celebrating Christmas. What was Christmas? Christmas was to celebrate that Jesus Christ in God had come to this world in the form of a human being to walk among us. The incarnation. Now, during these 3.5 months, we've gone over 33 years. And the last 3 years of Jesus' life were spent in that intensive ministry of telling who He was. Finally now, the end is getting near. And this is where our text comes in today. The hour has come. What hour? The day has come. What day? And all of a sudden Jesus says, is it possible that I could forget about it all? Could I forget about it? This is tough. And the Father says, no. Go on. What's the hour? The hour is that time when He, in history, an event in history, friend, and that's what we celebrate this week, goes to the cross. And there on the cross, He suffers and dies for the sins of the world. That's the cross. And when Jesus dies, He takes all of the sins away. And you and I can face reality. For he has said, it is finished. Sin has been atoned for, sacrifice has been made, and humanity can be restored into fellowship with God. And what the Holy Spirit seeks to do to us as we study this Word of God is to bring us to the place where we see, I have a desperate need for Christ. I need him more than anything else. I need Christ, for Christ alone can help me face reality. Now, Jesus dealt with reality in taking the sins of the world upon him in order that we might have free access to God both now and forevermore. Now we turn this around a little bit. Jesus did not have his own sin to deal with. You and I have our own sin to deal with. Can we face the reality of what sin is doing to us? Can you face it, friend? And here is where I have been very general. Now I ask you to be very specific. Go back in your own mind, back in your own soul. What is sin doing to you? Don't say nothing. I can tell you what sin is doing to me. You don't need to hear it, but if you want to, I'll come back in my study. I'll tell you about it. It'll take me all afternoon. It makes me weak. It makes me afraid. That's what sin does to me. It makes me guilty. It takes away my patience. Those things can destroy you. We can deal with it. Now comes the gospel. You watch Jesus. How does he deal with sin? The first thing he does, and there are three steps that I see very clearly. The first thing that he does is say, I've got to go to my Father. And so he stands before his Father. And what does he say? This is his prayer. Now is my soul troubled. Shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? He's got the sin of the world upon him. Is there any way, Father, that you can spare me from this? See, he takes it all to the Father in prayer. What do we learn from that? When we deal with the reality of sin, we have to bring our sin to the Father. You know what that is? Confession. Stop projecting our guilt. Stop belittling it. Stop denying it. But in the presence of our Father crying out, God, this is who I am. That's easy to say. And that's hard to do. That's the first step. The second step is that Jesus had to have a word of affirmation from his Father. And the Father said to him, then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it. And I will glorify it again. And the crowd standing by heard it and said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken. Well, God had given to Jesus that final affirmation. Go, my son, and you shall be glorified. We need a word of affirmation from God. You know what that word is? And I don't believe it comes through a bolt of thunder. And I don't believe it comes through angels. It comes to the word of God. That's the way he speaks to us. What does he say? What does that word say? If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sin. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our sins from us. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You come to me, I don't care who you are. You come no matter what your past may be. You come and leave it all with me, and I will forgive you every one of your sins, and you can start anew. That's the gospel. I hope you came to hear it. That's the gospel. If you and I can face reality and not continually blame someone else or something else, and say, here I am, God. And hear him put his arms around you. It doesn't matter. He put his arms around a robber on a cross. He will put it around O.J. Simpson. He will put it around Homer Larson. He will put it around anybody else who comes. And he will say, you're forgiven? That's the good news. That's what we have to peddle. That's the story. You are in Christ Jesus forgiven on the basis of repentance and faith. And the third thing that Jesus needed, he needed to have people around him. Now, some may not quite agree with that. I'd probably have to have a little discussion with you, and you may still not agree. But I think Jesus needed people around him. Why did he take that whole tribe up to Jerusalem? Why did he say, well, I'm going up to Jerusalem and just walk into Jerusalem and get it over with? But he takes 12 of those disciples. One's going to betray him. The other one's going to deny him. And they're going to have a terrible, difficult time. He needed people. So you get him on the cross. And this we know for sure. He looked down. And here were two of his favorite people, his mother Mary and his beloved son, John, a beloved disciple, John. And he looked at John and he said, John, take her home. Take care of her. John said, I will, Master. And you know what else I think he said? And this isn't in the scriptures. This is the gospel according to Homer Larson. But I think he said it. Thanks for coming, Mom. Thanks for being here. I needed you. And he looks out over that crowd, maybe when he was looking at one of the robbers on the cross, and he saw Nicodemus, the fellow who had come to him by night. And he said to himself in his own soul, Nicodemus is here, and he's standing beside Joseph of Arimathea. He's a wealthy guy in Jerusalem. He's the guy who just built a new tomb. I'll bet that Nicodemus has told Joseph of Arimathea that when Jesus is dead, they're going to put my body in that new tomb. And they did. And he stayed there, but just for a little bit. He needed people around him. We need people around us when we face temptation, when we face reality. I've needed a wife. You maybe have needed a spouse. I've needed my kids. You probably have needed your kids. Maybe they have needed a parent. We've needed friends. Friends who could say, look, you're not facing reality. It's okay. Just face it. God will give you the strength. That's how you face reality. And when you face reality, friend, with Christ by your side, you stand before God as spotless and clean and strong and able to move. One of the greatest lessons of life is to face reality with Jesus Christ standing by you. Isn't it time? Hasn't the day come for us, whoever we might be, to stop playing games with our Christian faith and our relationship with God? Maybe for some of you, you've never asked Jesus Christ to be a part of your life. What a marvelous time to do that on this Palm Sunday in Holy Week. This particular time I could really be a Baptist, but you good old stately Lutherans, hold your chair. I won't do it. But it would be very easy for me to say, why don't you come down to the altar? and we'll pray about it. Maybe there's someone in this congregation this morning who needs to meet Jesus head on. Come to him. He'll change your life. Maybe your problem has been you couldn't face reality. Can't live without it. And for the rest of us, it's not a once in a lifetime experience. It's an experience we have to have every day. When I say, Lord, here I am. Here's my sin. And I need to hear that voice. You are forgiven. And then I need my friends as a part of the Christian church that helps me along life's way. Wherever you are, friend, ask Jesus Christ for the first time or anew or a second time or whatever it may be to be a part of your life. Face reality. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western Home Communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western Old People's Home, quote, a home for the aged, started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.